Well, boys and girls, we did it. We got our 100,000 plaque.
Let's go.
Very exciting. It's very exciting. This is the next one's at a million, so we have a little ways to go before we get to do this one again. But I would be remiss if I didn't take a minute to just thank everybody for this. I have to tell you, it's been quite a ride. It's been less than a year that we've been doing Sexton Show. And from what it started, I did not imagine it would ever be this. I do have to say everybody else believed in it way before I did. I thought I was kind of an interesting guest. And even that I hadn't quite figured out. But I did not know that this would catch on the way that it has. I get stopped in the street constantly now by people that say that they love the channel. They love the clips that they see out there. I'm not sure what else to say except just to say thank you to every single one of you. This is going to be an episode where we're just going to talk a little bit about the history of the show. We're going to do some thank you videos for you guys that you've asked for. We're not going to give you every single thing that you asked for. Some of this stuff, it was like, wow, that's going to be on my OnlyFans. That's got to be. but we definitely want to give you some thank yous. So we're going to have a little bit of a tattoo tour. A small tattoo tour because a lot of that, we'll save some of that for the million episode or for my OnlyFans. And then we're going to do a tour of one of my homes, which I think was a fun thing for me to shoot. So let's get after it.
Yeah. So I find it so intriguing what you just said. And I've seen it play out in real life that you are like the last one to believe in it because yeah. I mean, I was hounding you. I was like, when you're ready to do content, call me up, bro.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, that you're a great talker and you put hard concepts into easy words, all of these things.
I know I talk a lot.
And so it can't be that surprising that you're good at this.
I guess so. It's very funny to me. I didn't know that anybody would find what I had to say particularly interesting. Look, I'm a tremendous consumer of media. Like, I listen to Sam Harris, I listen to Blocked and Reported, I listen to Chris Williamson, I listen to Huberman, I listen to Lex. Like, I have the shows I listen to. I listen to Diary of a CEO. And I consume a lot of that stuff. And I find those guys so interesting that I still, like, I can't believe anybody read my book. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have bought and read my book. I still can't believe that. Like, I still, because I read so much and I find almost everything I read, I go, wow, this is so great. This person has so much to say. I'm in here, so I just don't find myself that interested.
Yeah.
I find myself exhausting a lot of the time. So I'm starting to accept the fact that, okay, we've got an audience. Like, because I can't walk down the street without people giving me these amazing affirmations of how much they love what I have to say, which is incredible. Like, it's incredibly humbling. It's beautiful. It's a really, really lovely thing. It's not what I expected at the ripe age of 53. Like, I'm really glad it didn't happen until now, because I would have been a total asshole if this came to me in my 20s or 30s. But it's a pretty surreal thing. I didn't see it coming.
Even what you just said, though, like, being a consumer of this is part of being able to be good at it as well. Like, you're picking up on things through osmosis and just vibes, and you're entrenched in it.
I will say this. Look, I had no free time. Mm-hmm. Like, my first reaction when this show was proposed is I was like, when in God's name would I have time to do that? I have a more than full-time job. And I said, look, I can't let this impact my cases or my clients at all. We have to figure out a way to do this that it's not going to take away from my day job, because I love my day job. My day job's important to me, and the things that people trust me with are so important. But I have to tell you, I look forward to this. Mm-hmm. Like, I look forward to this in a way that really surprises me. Like, I really feel like I'm kind of coming to, like, our clubhouse.
Absolutely.
And hanging out with friends.
It's the gang, man.
And, like, yeah. I even now sort of enjoy, you know, like, the way the audience interacts with us
this
and
where
has
it gets
things
fun
to
now.
Say. You guys share comments with me, and mm-hmm. like, people come out to me in the street and they, like, know things about the show. Like, we're starting to have, like, the Sexton universe, you
so
know?
So wait,
and
how about, I was thinking, the Sexaholics?
That sounds awful. That's a terrible.
Come on, it's the Sexaholics.
This is our last episode. I just want to thank you guys for tuning in. That is a terrible. I would sooner.
You got the Beehive, you got the Swifties, and the Sexaholics.
I would rather be a Belieber than a Sexaholic. That is terrible. I don't know what you'd call them. I have no idea what you'd call my fans.
No, but this is the fun part when you have this ecosystem that, like, you're in on the joke, you're in on the secrets, and you know, if you're on the outside looking in, you're jealous. And
yeah,
that's
we have a little bit
fun.
Of a lore now.
Yes.
And I feel like we also, we're starting to get a sense of what the audience is interested in and what you all enjoy. And that feels great. Like, it really feels like it's fun to entertain you. Like, I'm having a conversation with you, and it's mm-hmm. real. And that feels really real to me. Like, I feel your interest. I feel what makes you laugh. I feel like, and it makes me laugh to make you laugh. It makes me happy that something I'm saying makes you happy. I will sometimes get curated comments from our guys, and they'll send me these things, and I'll laugh because they're like, people really, they defend me in the comments. They, you know, mm-hmm. they talk about like, oh my God, you know, Sunday, can't wait without Sexton. Like, oh, I'm having this with my coffee. And like, do you understand how good it feels to know that I'm making your coffee more fun? Like it is a privilege to do that. Like, it really is. Like, it's a profound privilege to do that. Like, I have always been humbled by the things people trust me with in court. The fact that people like trust me with custody of their kids, like their finances, like that is a really awesome feeling, but it's also a little terrifying. Because there's this feeling that, oh my God, I am the thing standing between these people and justice. Just entertaining you, and there's no pressure to entertain you. Like, I don't have to worry about what money the channel makes or doesn't make. I don't have to, like, this is not my job. Like, this is something I'm doing for fun.
True passion.
And it is fun. Mm. Like, it is fun. And I have to tell you, the fact that you show up and watch this thing and click likes and share and have comments and say things about how this makes you happy, this show. Like, life is hard, man. Like, people have a hell of a time out there. And the fact that, like, if I can give you 20 minutes, 30 minutes in your day where you're laughing and you're happy, or you're walking out with something of value about your relationship or your relationship with your kids, or your relationship with yourself, like, that's a gift, man. Like, it's a gift. And I'm being completely sincere when I say to you how much I appreciate that and how welcomed I feel into your ears and into your screen, and how much it means to me that there's so much to watch and listen to. Everyone has a show now. And the fact that you would choose this one, and that you would subscribe to this one, and that you would look forward to seeing what I have to say in this one, that is such an amazing thing. And we will continue to try to provide you something funny, something thoughtful, something valuable. We are not trying to do anything inauthentic here. This is all organic. Like, there is no, before we start recording, there is no discussion of, okay, here's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
We just go. And that's why you're getting my very real and raw, which, by the way, is why sometimes I may not have anything really interesting or funny to say, or I may step on myself sometimes and say something that contradicts something else I said. It's because it's real, it's unscripted, it's not planned. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. We talk about it, and at the end I go, okay, I guess this is what we talked about.
I just want the audience to really recognize how much you get done in such a short amount of time while juggling a extremely high-profile divorce attorney job, where, especially because as an audience member of other shows, you like to be a part of the grassroots and watch where it goes. And I think this guy is the absolute limit as this grows. And as
you've
maybe
been
you get
a believer for a long time.
I mean, I know you're never going to fully quit, but my dream is to watch you kind of go into this second act and watch, like, my point is what you're doing.
You're like, I want to get you out of the unified court system.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah,
you do though with like 1% of what other, content creators, the amount of time and resources and energy they have, like, if you could even give it 2% of your attention, the world is going to get, the whole cinematic universe for these fans is going to get
so
better
much
and
more
better.
Sexton than they ever. It's already a lot of Sexton. I don't know.
They are sexaholics, man.
Dude, that is the worst name ever. I apologize for that name. That is absolutely, we're going to get shirts now that just say sexaholic.
Oh, like, I'm getting them made up.
Jesus.
Do you before we get into the house tour, do you want to talk about when we went on a break for about a week? You had a moment where you were like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can talk about that. Yeah, it was quite a few months ago. Quite a few months ago, I basically reached out to you and said, this is quite a few months ago, though.
Yeah.
I reached out to you and I said, I don't think I can do this.
It was your own words. You said, press send now. You were like, in the interest of everything I've ever preached, I'm just going to send this email.
I'm just going to say this to you. And I said to you, I'm so, first of all, I'm so grateful for the belief you've had in me and the time you spent on this, but I just don't think I can do this authentically. I don't think that I can. It was when we were in the old studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically was saying, look, this isn't working for me. Like I wasn't like it felt forced. It just didn't work. And I was like, I don't want to do it unless I'm going to do it right. Yep. I don't want to do it unless I'm going to do it authentic. And you met it with a great like, hey, man, listen, if you've made up your mind, like you've made up your mind and that's okay. And I'll respect whatever decision you make. But could we explore the possibility of doing this some other way? And that's when we switched to a different studio. We switched to a different recording schedule. And that's when I started to go, okay, this is fun. Like, mm-hmm. this is fun. And it was really your belief in it, your passion about it that made me go, okay, like, let's at least give it a try, you know? Because I am so fortunate. Like, there are so many people behind this, from the people that make the clips for us and post everything to all the stuff that Kevin does to all the work that Matt puts into this, Lewis. We have so many people on the team, all of whom play a very, like, all I have to do is show up and just be authentically myself and just riff. I have the easiest part of this. I really believe that. I do the least work. I just show up and be me, which I can do from anywhere. But I just have to be here. And I was ready. Yeah, we took about a week and a half off. And I think that was what I needed. I hadn't figured out how to balance this. Now I've worked this into my life and my schedule in a way that it feels very, very seamless. It doesn't feel like it's taking anything away from the work. I've created space for it. But yeah, I mean, there was a time you almost lost it, guys. Mm-hmm. You almost lost Sexton Show. And I'm so glad we didn't. I'm so glad you believed in it. And I'm so glad that that we stuck with it. Because if you'd said to me that in less than a year, we'd have 100,000 subscribers.
It's a great year, man.
We've had some amazing sponsors. Yep. I mean, we've got a whole roster of sponsors now that really believe in us. And I said early on, I don't want to be one of those people that's just like, you know, like mattress codes and things like for things I don't really believe in. I said, look, I will work with products that I really believe in that I think will bring value to people's lives or that have brought value to my life, ideally. We've approached some of the people like Soul Gummies. We approached them, you know, Proper Cloth. Like we approached them, Marek Health. We approached them. Like these are services I use. These are people I believe in. These are teams I believe in. And this is us saying to them, hey, we are users, believers in the product that you have. Let us talk about that. And that's the best kind of advertising. It's the best kind of marketing. It's something that has made my life better. And I want to share that with the people around me. I remember the early days of listening to Tim Ferriss. And I remember some of the best things in my life I got by listening to Tim Ferriss and him saying, oh, I love Element. I'm drinking a lot of Element now. And I was like, all right, I got to figure out what that is. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where all of a sudden he would recommend something and it would be sold out on Amazon. And it really was just an authentic representation of what it is. He was just like Anthony Jeselnik's book club. Like every time Jeselnik recommended a book, I'd go out and buy the book and I realized he and I have the exact same taste in literature. Some of my favorite books, Unworld. There are so many books that I got from Anthony Jeselnik's choices out there in his book club that I was like, all right, I found someone who has the same sensibilities as me. So if I can create that environment for you guys too, then that feels like something else of tremendous value to everybody involved. So we almost went off the rails on it, but since then it's been a really steady trajectory to the top. So, who knows? Who knows what the future is going to hold? We'll see.
On to a million. Let's show off some ink.
That's the next plaque. Oh, yes. All right. So we're going to do a tattoo tour and we're going to do a tour of my house in the Catskills. So those are going to be your two, what I call my fortress of solitude. It's where I go to reflect and sort of escape civilization. I try to get up there almost every weekend. And so we're going to share some of that stuff with you. And I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you feels small. There are times where thank you feels small. This is one of those times. Like thank you feels really small. And I'm talking to you. I you know, whoever you are that you're watching this, like this is for the fans. Like this is not for the algorithm. This is not to try to get new subscribers. This is the people who've been here since day one or somehow along the way joined us on here. I am grateful to you. I appreciate that you like me. I don't know you, but I like you. I don't know you, but I'm cheering for you. I don't know you, but I want to make you laugh and entertain you and give you something worth thinking about and being interested in. And I appreciate you showing up every single time for this show more than I could possibly put into words. And I'm good with words. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 100,000 is just the beginning. All right. Tattoo tour. Here we go. We'll do the bottom half of both of my sleeves. Okay. These are old. And I have to tell you, every time I go into like, this is how women flirt with men with tattoos, is they'll say like, oh, I really like your tattoos. It's sort of like when you say to a woman like, oh, I like your glasses, or oh, I like your necklace, right. You know, it's like, oh, I like your tattoos. And I've always said, thanks, they're older than you. That actually does not discourage them. It does not have the effect that you would hope it has. It actually has them be like, oh, I don't know, is that true? And I'm like, well, they're about 30 years old. And they're like, oh, they are younger than me. And I'm like, oh, boy, that's okay, never mind. All right, so let's do a little bit of a tour. So we'll start with this arm. Okay, this is the Pax Christi, the Alpha and the Omega. That was a nod to my Catholic roots. I went to Catholic school my whole life. This is the kanji for compassion, essentially. What I did was on the other arm, I had suffering. So I did compassion and suffering. And my back piece, what I did on this arm was largely intended to be like positive, and this arm was intended to be negative. So on this arm, we have compassion, we have the Pax Christi, we have a cross here. This is the six fruits of the Holy Spirit in Latin, temperance, justice, strength, prudence, mercy, and humility. And so that's the six fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is the date I passed the bar exam. And the funny thing is, my older son just got a tattoo like this.
You're in the Roman numerals?
Yeah, he got very the Roman numerals of when he passed the bar exam. This is the Chaos Cross. This is it's instead of just the cross, this is the Chaos Cross. It's arrows pointing in every direction. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have something that was sort of focused on chaos. Back here, I don't know if you can really see it. These are chrysanthemums. There's chrysanthemums, and then up here is the lettering. It says DFL. I got it right after my divorce. It stands for drama-free life. And that was my little nod to my divorce, DFL. Was that I wanted to have a DFL. I said I was going to, from then on, I was going to have a DFL. I was going to have a drama-free life. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I have accomplished that. I have accomplished a drama-free life.
Good.
This was actually a tattoo of Christ on the cross. And this was his legs, and these were his arms, and it just did not come out the way that I wanted it to. So I went to another artist. This was actually Jesus's head was
That's
right here.
That's a pretty
here.
Good cover up.
Yeah,
I can kind of see it now that you're saying that. But
what's funny about it is this line here is only about a year old. I love to cook, and I burned myself really bad. Shit. I leaned against a pan, and it burned so bad it burned right through where the ink was.
Wow.
And now I have. But yeah, but this was Jesus's crown of thorns. You can slightly see
definitely.
The crown of thorns. And this was him. And these were his arms on the cross. And this was his abdomen. But I said, look, I have so many skulls. I have seven skulls on my other arm. Why don't you just do some skulls as a cover up? Mm. So that's what was done there. So that's this arm, or at least the beginnings of this arm. Okay. This one. Okay. This is suffering, obviously. What this entire sleeve is just the seven deadly sins all done as skulls. I've always been really interested in the seven deadly sins, largely because I think that the seven deadly sins are very human insofar as they're very natural human drives, all with the volume turned up way too much. So gluttony is a natural drive, hunger taken too far. Lust is a natural drive taken too far. Envy is natural drive, comparison taken too far. So I wanted the artist, Oren Hurley, a very talented tattoo artist, to design for me the seven deadly sins done as skulls, and he did a phenomenal job of it.
That arm is job security for you.
Yeah, right? Seven deadly sins is definitely. So of the ones that I can show you here, this is envy, and it's a skull with the eyes are vacant, because envy is actually blindness to God's gifts. So it's missing the eyes. This is wrath. What we did for wrath is we found a photo of a skull when a bullet hole has gone through it. So this is a skull with a bullet hole in it. This is gluttony, which is, it was essentially like a lot of teeth. We did like a whole bunch of teeth
cool.
around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the interior of the arm, well, this one I'll go up a little bit. This is pride. So it was an anatomically perfect skull. And this right here is the Lucifer sigil, which is essentially Lucifer's sin was pride. That was the sin that had Lucifer cast out of heaven, essentially. So we figured we would do like the Lucifer insignia. And then on this side, you can't really get the whole thing in here, but this is greed. And it's essentially like a church box with the coins, where the coins are going in, but the coins are falling out of the mouth. And then we have here, the largest amount of this is Lust. That'll have to be at a million subscribers.
Okay. But, do you have any that you really regret?
I don't regret any of my tattoos. Yeah, I don't regret any of them. I have a couple that are kind of throwaways. Mm-hmm. Like on my legs, I did a lot of like any of my silly tattoos I did on my legs. Like this is one that I got. I think I was 18. I was a freshman or a sophomore in college, and a friend of mine just drew it, and you know we put it on.
Said fuck it, yeah.
So yeah, I still like remember it as being sort of a silly tattoo I got in college. But mm-hmm. that's like over, I don't know, 40 years old almost.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's been there for a long time. And then I got the symbol for love here, or harmony. And then over here, I had an Osho with a tree inside of it, a bonsai tree. And I got that on my son Noah's 18th birthday. We both got matching tattoos.
Cool.
Yeah, so that one means a lot to me. I don't really have any that I regret. Yeah.
Are you getting more, or are you done?
I haven't got any in a while.
Maybe like grandkids or something like that would inspire you.
I have both of my sons. I have NJS, Noah John Sexton, and WCS, William Cole Sexton, on each of these sides. I got those when they were each born, of my back. My back is a huge back piece. My chest is pretty much blank. So I do have a bit of real estate.
You got some canvas, yeah.
Yeah. So I've thought about it, and at some point I probably will do more, but I just haven't felt like sitting.
What about like, okay, ready? YouTube.com/Sexton Show.
Okay. Yeah. Offer code the, Sexton. Yeah. Just get a, you know, I wouldn't even say at a million I would do that. That would not happen. SextonShow.com. Yeah. No, I don't regret any of my tattoos. I'm actually really grateful for all of them. What's funny is the whole sleeves rolled up tattoo thing is not something that I intended to have be my brand. Like I get recognized a hell of a lot more when my sleeves are rolled up because people just see the tattoos mm-hmm. and the suit and they just go, okay, that's Sexton. It's very funny to me because it wasn't the way that it started was really when Soft White Underbelly, that first interview, it was August. And Mark records at the W Hotel in Times Square. And my office is at Hudson Yards. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to take a cab or the subway. I'm just going to walk. And I walked. It was really hot out. So I took my jacket off. I rolled my sleeves up. And I don't know. You walk in with Mark and he's got the cameras already set up and he starts talking to you. That's why that interview starts like mid-conversation with like the worst moment of conversation ever, by the way. Like the opening sentences of my first Soft White Underbelly interview, which has like 10 million views, are just... I'm horrified by them because I was talking about when I first got divorced.
And oh, no.
It was not great.
Yeah.
And to know that like 11 million people have viewed it.
Yeah.
But it was just Mark and I talking as like two divorced guys. And then it turned into this interview. But after that interview, this became a look that people got really accustomed to. And again, this was my look in the office most of the time. Like I most of the time have my sleeves rolled up and I sort of forget about the tattoos. I don't actually like they've been part of me for so long that it doesn't occur to me that this is like a little shocking to people. But I am of a generation like when I got tattooed, it was a weird thing to get a lot of tattoos. Being heavily tattooed and a professional was just not something you did. Now you got people like Huberman who's inked up mm-hmm. left and right. You got a lot of like it's not. I've had CEOs as clients that are, you know, sleeved up or have like almost Yakuza level tattoos. Because it's no longer considered, you know, something that's abnormal. But
you ain't getting away with any crimes, I'll tell you that much.
No, I'm a marked man.
Yeah.
I can't do any.
He had the seven
CIA.
Deadly sins on his arm.
He does. Yeah. You'd be like, well, yeah, it's probably narrowing the list down of how many people there are out there. But so that's going to be the tattoo tour, at least for this round of the tattoo tour. There's plenty more ink to show you. So keep like hitting the like and the subscribe and the notification bell. Get people to sign up. We get to a million. I don't know. I'll strip down naked. We'll do the whole damn thing. We'll just cover it with a sock. I'll go like Red Hot Chili Pepper. You know what I mean? It's got to be a big sock. No.
Ladies, tell your friends.
Yeah, like everybody sign up. But for now, let's take a journey out of the island of Manhattan and let's find ourselves in the woods. Let's get after it.
Hey, gang. All right. There was some discussion about what would be a suitable audience perk when I hit 100,000 subscribers. And there were a lot of ideas thrown around, but one of them was like a house tour or a look inside some personal aspects of my life. So I wanted to share with all of you my what I call my fortress of solitude, which is my cabin in the woods. This is that tour. Here we go.
All right. So this is the property from a distance here. And it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, which is what I like about it. I can be in Midtown Manhattan where I live and be surrounded by people, and then I can be here, and there's absolutely no noise of any kind. So, my very posh 2021 Jeep Wrangler. And that is what they call an 11-person barrel sauna. But I have to tell you, I don't think you'd have to stack the people up laying on top of each other. Not that I've tested the theory, but it would not be an easy fit. And like I said, the property is 33 acres. It goes way back, but I have what's called a cowboy cauldron, so I can do a fire in the evening time and a grill because I like to do a lot of grilling. And I had this house designed and built a few years ago. All right, so when you walk through the front door, a lot of towels for the sauna there. And this is a mud sink for muddy dogs. And this is the front entryway. It's actually a small house. It's an 1,100 square foot house. Wanted to have a small house on a big piece of property. And coming through, this is the kitchen area. Espresso maker, always an essential. And a table. This is a library shelf that was given to me by my assistant as a Christmas gift. Beautiful painting by a dear friend. And then we have, here is, step back and show you the whole thing. This is the living room area. Those of you who know what those two logos are, you're in the know. Put it in the comments. It's not something everybody gets. But yeah, this is where I sit in front of the fireplace and chill out. Here's something a lot of you might not know about me. I don't collect a lot of things, but actually I don't collect anything. But the one thing I do collect is signed first editions of all of the books that have been my favorites or meaningful to me at different times in my life. So some of them are things like The Soloist by Mark Salzman, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, that's a signed first edition of Fight Club, The Rules of Attraction, Less Than Zero, The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton, Peter Benchley Jaws, The Exorcist, No Country for Old Men, Bukowski, Betting on the Moose, Stephen King, Salem's Lot, Legion by William Peter Blatty, Shogun by James Clavell. Those are all signed first editions, and that's something I collect. Very simple, minimal kitchen. Refrigerator is built into, and the freezer is built into there. A lot of plants. This is a first edition Ralph Steadman from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, for those of you who might recognize it. This is something I put together. This is all of my business cards from my jobs in the law, my first internships and things like that. I'll spare you the bathroom and shower, but it does have one of those cool Japanese toilets. And this is where the magic doesn't happen. This is my bedroom. I've not hung up the mirror. It's got a high ceiling, and yeah, this is like the elevated man cave, basically. Lots of plants. So when this was designed, I designed it with the idea of having a place to come and write. So that's why it's two separate structures. So this is the bedroom from the outside we were just in. And then this is the studio. And this is where I do a lot of my writing and reflecting. And also riding my Peloton bike.
For those of you who probably know, I'm also a fitness guy. So one of the things that I wanted when I had a cabin out in the woods was to, if you want to call this a cabin in the woods, was to have a place to work out. Because there's not a lot in this town. There's no gym or anything like that. And I keep weird hours. So I was very lucky to have something built.
There's the house and the studio we were just in. And this is my gym. This is two shipping containers that were welded together and turned into a gym for me, which is great because when I'm here, I don't have to sacrifice on working out, which is kind of one of my favorite things to do in my free time and also keeps me from choking people to death.
Here's my stripped down gym in the woods tour. That's an elliptical. I like the elliptical. I know it's not the most manly of things, but what can I tell you? I like it.
And this is the gym itself. It's a photo of Paul Schreiner and Marcelo Garcia, two of my teachers. My hex bar for deadlifts. There's me. And then a lot of weights. Just got a lot of weights, a lot of kettlebells. And yeah, this is a great, Great spot to work out in. Gives me everything I need. This rack here, I can do pull-ups on. I can do squats. I've got bench press. Everything folds up. It's a really nice compact system. PRX Performance designed it, and I have a tremendous number of plates because I used to do a lot of heavy deadlifting. I don't so much anymore, but I used to. And yeah, it's actually air conditioned here, but you really rarely ever need it.
All right, gang, so that's it. Consider that one of the 100,000 subscriber rewards. But yeah, hold my calls. I'm in the woods. But thanks again to everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got to see a little, enjoy seeing a little glimpse into the non-litigator side of Jim Sexton and the stuff that I like to do when I have a little bit of free time. It's not surprising that I like to vanish from society entirely and hide out and not talk to anybody, considering what I do for a living. So take care.